ओम अज्ञानत मिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकय चक्षुर उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकम्। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। आनंद लीलामय विग्रहाय हेमावदिव्य छवि सुंदराय तस्मै महाप्रेम रस प्रदाय चैतन्य चंद्राय नमो नमस्ते। चैतन्य चंद्राय नमो नमस्ते। चैतन्य चंद्राय नमो नमस्ते। Today we are going to discuss something very deep and something very important, straight from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So you have to be very, very attentive, because Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he has given a lot of nectar in very few words. So my request is, let us all pay complete attention to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's words. All of us are listeners. All of us are the Shrota. And Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is the Pravakta. He is the speaker. We are all listening to his words. Srila Jagadananda Pandit, a dear associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is an incarnation of Satyabhama Devi in Sri Krishna Leela, has said something very beautiful in a book called as the Prem Vivarta. He says, Gaurarami mukhe balila nahi chale, Gaurarachar gaurar vichar loile phala phale. What does this mean? Gaurarami mukhe balila nahi chale. Oh, just by saying, I am Gaudiya Vaishnav, I am Gaudiya Vaishnav. Mukhe balila nahi chale. Just by speaking it through the tongue, oh, nobody becomes Gaudiya Vaishnav like that. Just by saying, oh, I belong to Sri Chaitanya, Gaurar Ami, I belong to Gauranga, I belong to Gauranga, Mukhe bolila nahi chale. Just by saying that through the tongue, it's not sufficient. Then what is the qualification? Gaurar Achar, Gaurar Bichar, Loile Phala Phale. The fruit of being a Gaudiya Vaishnav will actually fructify, which means we will receive love of Godhead. We will receive Parabhakti, the highest form of bhakti. Only if two things are followed, Gaurar Achar and Gaurar Vichar. What does Gaurar Achar mean? Gaurar Achar means the etiquette, the practice, the personal conduct of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The way Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exemplified devotional service, the way Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu served the Vaishnavas, the way Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted the holy names, the way Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remembered the Supreme Lord, the way he worshipped his mother, the way and how intensely he punished those who were criticizing the Vaishnavas. All of these principles are called Gaurar Achar, which means the personal conduct of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the second is Gaurar Vichar, the instructions, the thought process of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Till the time we don't follow the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, till the time we don't practice the conduct of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can't just say, I am Gaudiya Vaishnav, I am part of ISKCON, or I am follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on my altar, so I will get love of God. It doesn't work like that. Very important verse. Gaurar ami mukhe bolila nahi chale. केवल मुख से मैं गौर का हूं, मैं गौर का हूं, ये बोलने से नहीं चलेगा, ऐसे हिंदी का भाषांतर है उसका. The Hindi translation of that is, just by saying that I belong to Gauranga, it doesn't work like that. If we don't follow his instructions, what is the use? Mahaprabhu gave a few instructions. The first instruction Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave is, Jodi tumi rakte chaho Gaurangir sone, choto hari daser katha thake jeno mone. This also comes from Prem Vivarta by Jagadananda Pandit, which means that if you want যদি তুমি রাখতে চাহো গৌরাঙ্গের রসনে, ইফ ইউ ওয়ান্ট মহাপ্রভু টু কিপ ইউ এট ইউর লোটাস ফিট, জগদানন্দ পণ্ডিত স্পিকিং টু অল অফ আস, ইফ ইউ ওয়ান্ট মহাপ্রভু টু কিপ ইউর সেলফ কিপ ইউ এট হিজ লোটাস ফিট, ছোট হরিদাসের কথা থাকে যেন মনে, দেন রিমেম্বার দ্য পাস্ট টাইম অফ ছোট হরিদাস ভেরি ভেরি সিরিয়াসলি, উইচ মিনস ইফ উই আর ভেরি ফ্রিভলস ইন আওয়ার ডিলিংস উইথ দি অপোজিট সেক্স, ইফ উই লাইক টু কাট জোকস অ্যান্ড ভেরি ফ্রিলি মিক্স ফর উইথ উইমেন অ্যাজ ম্যান অর উইথ মেন অ্যাজ বিং আ উমেন, দেন ইউ উইল নট গেট মহাপ্রভু. Mahaprabhu gives mercy only to those who properly follow conduct. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a very beautiful example to illustrate this point. Srila Sanatan Goswami was invited to have prasadam with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was waiting, but Srila Sanatan Goswami did not come. And finally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu honored Jagannath Mahaprasad. And then by the time Sanatana Goswami reached to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal servant Govinda, he announced to Sanatana Goswami, "Oh Sanatana, our Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu waited for you to have lunch prasadam together. But because you didn't come on time, he has already had prasadam and he has gone off to sleep. Because Mahaprabhu takes 30 minutes of power nap in the afternoon, not more, not less." Nowadays, there is a scientific research about how a 30-minute power nap in the afternoon boosts up the attention of the living being or the individual throughout the day. If it's more than that, the person becomes lazy. If it's less than that, the person becomes agitated. But our Shachinandan Gaura Hari, our Nimai Pandit took 30-minute power naps even 500 years ago. So Govinda Das was, he told Sri Chaitanya, Srila Sanatana Goswami about this. And Srila Sanatana Goswami waited. But as soon as Mahaprabhu got to know that his beloved Sanatana Goswami is here, Mahaprabhu woke up. Because what wakes up the Lord from Yoga Nidra is the sincerity of a devotee. You can see the Supreme Lord was in Yoga Nidra and it was Advaita Acharya's calling that woke him up as Mahavishnu from Vaikuntha. Mother Yashoda was churning butter and her child Krishna, who was actually in Yoga Nidra in the next room, woke up in Damodar Leela and he came searching for his mother. And he came and held the churning rod of Mother Yashoda to tell Mother Yashoda this, that any devotee who wakes up in Brahma Muhurta and all alone keeps churning the pot of Shastra like you are doing, which means studying the Shastra and chanting the holy name, I personally will give up my Yoga Nidra sleep and go there and give them darshan. So Krishna came and gave darshan to Mother Yashoda in the first verse of Damodar Leela. Ekada grihadasishu Yashoda Nanda Gehini Karmantara Niyuktasu Nirmamantha Swayam Dadhi Yani Yani Hagitani Tad Bala Charitani Cha Dadhi Nirmantane Kale Smaranti Tanya Gayata. Mother Yashoda was churning and Krishna came and held the butter pot churning rod to tell Mother Yashoda that anyone who wakes up early like you have done, O Mother, and they are churning the pot of Shastra, which means what is the essence of Shastra? What is the butter on the pot of the Shastra? The chanting of the holy name. If someone wakes up early in the morning and churns the essence of the Shastra, which is studying the Shastra and chanting the holy name, then I personally give up my sleep and go there. Yatra gayanti mad bhaktaha tatra tishthami narada. I will go and give darshan. But when I am standing in front of them, and instead of serving me, if they continue to churn the Shastra, which means the essence of Shastra is to find Krishna, but once you've found Krishna, you have to serve him. But instead, you make Krishna stand and then you continue to churn and read Shastra. Then what does Krishna do? He comes and holds the stick, which means give up your study now. The purpose of studying is to see me. Now that I have come, you just serve me. So like that, many secrets of Damodar Leela are there. The point we were making is when the devotee is ready and sincerely seeking out the presence of the Supreme Lord, then the Lord is appearing for Mother Yashoda, for Advaita Acharya in Navadvip, and here in Jagannath Puri, for the pleasure and for the sake of Srila Sanatana Goswami. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he woke up from his sleep and he embraced Sanatana Goswami. And he asked Srila Sanatana Goswami, "Oh Sanatana, I was waiting for you so that we can sit and have prasadam together. What made you come late?" So Srila Sanatana Goswami said, "My Lord, please forgive me. I tried to come as fast as I could." So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "But you are living at Siddha Bakul, which is the place of Haridas Thakur. You see, Haridas Thakur was the greatest chanter of the holy names. And in his small little cottage at Siddha Bakul, there was Sanatana Goswami, there was Rupa Goswami, there was Haridas Thakur. Why were they all living there? Because they were not given entry into the main temple of Jagannath. The temple of Jagannath has a rule that only those who are Hindus can enter. But you know, Srila Haridas Thakur was not born as a Hindu. So he was the greatest Vaishnav. But unfortunately, he was not born in a Hindu family. So they didn't let him enter the temple. But because he was such a great Vaishnav, for others, they had to enter the temple to see Jagannath. But because he was sitting and chanting the holy name, Jagannath in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to give darshan. Or we could even venture to say, Jagannath went in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to have darshan of Haridas Thakur at Siddha Bakul. And Siddha Bakul is also the place where Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami lived with Haridas Thakur. Why? They were very exalted Saraswat Brahmanas from Karnataka, Rupa and Sanatana. Their names at birth were Amar and Santosh. Amar is Rupa Goswami and Santosh is Sanatana Goswami. So I remember when I received my Harinam and I received the name Amarendra Das, I was very curious to know what is the meaning of the word Amarendra. So I asked different devotees, senior Vaishnavas, and they all gave me different answers. One devotee told me the word Amara means immortality. And who are immortals? The demigods are immortals. And Indra is the best among them. So Amarendra refers to Lord Indra because he's the best among the immortals. And Das means servant. So I respected this opinion, but I was not completely satisfied that the name that I received at Harinam, which should mean I am the servant of Indra, who's the best among demigods. Then when I asked another devotee, you see, depending on the Adhikar, they were giving me different answers. So another devotee told me, Amara means demigod, but Indra means best. So the topmost leader of all demigods is Vishnu. So this is a service to his lotus feet. I was okay with that too. But then I was thinking, Iha Bahi Age Kaho Ar. You know, this is external, like Rupa Gos, like Mahaprabhu tells Ramanandara, yes, this is good, but please continue. Then finally, one devotee told me something which I really loved. He said, the word Amar is actually the name of Rupa Goswami. Because Rupa Goswami's birth name was, appearance name was Amar. And Srila Sanatana Goswami's appearance name was Santosh. So Amar means Rupa Goswami. And Indra means the Lord. And who's the Lord of Rupa Goswami? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Das means servant. So he said, oh, then the name that you've been given by your Guru Maharaj means the servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's the Lord of Rupa Goswami. I said, thank you very much. So anyway, the point is Srila Rupa Goswami's name was Amar and Srila Sanatana Goswami's name was Santosh. So both of them, although they were very high class Saraswat Brahmanas from Karnataka, because they served under a king who was very atrocious in his behavior, a Muslim king who was killing Brahmanas, who was killing the cows, and he was tormenting the Hindu culture. So Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they kind of were subordinate to this king and giving him some sane intelligence. As a result of which the king was not breaking principles, and because he respected Rupa and Sanatana. As a result, what happened was the king kind of gave initiation to Rupa and Sanatana in a perverted, reflected manner. Instead of giving them spiritual names, he called them Dabir Khas and Sakhar Malik. So they got like some political names because of their position. Now, because of this, the society in general knew them as Dabir Khas and Sakhar Malik. and associated them to the Islamic line of the non-Hindu culture or tradition. As a result, Rupa and Sanatan were also forbidden from entering the Jagannath temple. So we know birds of the same feather flock together. So Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Haridas Thakur, all of them were not let inside the temple. So I sometimes, when I'm talking to kids, I joke and I say, you know why they were not given entrance into the temple? Because they were all outstanding. So Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami and Haridas Thakur, they were all outstanding. They were standing outside the temple. And this was Siddha Bakul. Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj, a very dear disciple of Srila Prabhupada, would say, actually, this Siddha Bakul was preparation for the incorporation of ISKCON. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that our Srila Prabhupada would preach far and wide in all countries and in all castes and everyone from all religions possible. As a result, not all of them will be allowed into the temple. So they will have to take darshan of Mahaprabhu from Siddha Bakul, just like Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami did. So our sampradaya, our ISKCON sampradaya, many of us may not be able to go inside the temple, but no harm. We are taking shelter of Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami, the place where the Lord himself came with his plate of Mahaprasad. So we don't have to worry if we can't enter the temple. We take shelter of Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami. So Srila Sanatan Goswami told Mahaprabhu, well, I'm living at Siddha Bakul. So Mahaprabhu said, that's even more intriguing and perplexing, because from the Siddha Bakul to the Gambhira where I am, it's not that far away. So why did it take such a long time for you? So Srila Sanatan Goswami did not say anything. He put his head down and he said, my Lord, I am very sorry. Mahaprabhu understood that Sanatan Goswami, being a very great Vaishnav, he's trying to hide something. So Mahaprabhu, being Nimai Pandit, he tried to interrogate in a very transcendental way. He said, Srila Sanatan Goswami, please tell me, which path did you take? There are two paths in coming to my residence from the place where you are living. There's a straighter path through the Jagannath temple, and there's another path which moves through the ocean beach, the ocean shore, and then that comes. This one is the faster one, that one is a longer route. You please tell me, which one did you take? Srila Sanatan Goswami said, well, my Lord, I took the longer route. I came through the ocean shore. Mahaprabhu said, can you show me your feet? And Sanatan Goswami showed the feet, his lotus feet. Srila Sanatan Goswami's body were filled with pus and open wound. And this was there for a long, long time. This wasn't because of the travel, but because this was there for a long time. So Mahaprabhu said, oh, Sanatan, your whole body has been is filled with open wounds. The only part of your body which was proper, which was healthy, and which was protected was the sole of your lotus feet. And now look at you, because it's the afternoon time in the summer season and the beach, the ocean shore is piping hot. It's very, very hot. And you have walked for such a long time through that path. The only part of your body which was protected, which is the sole of your feet, have now developed blisters and they have become red. They have become hurt because of the heat that has been, or the sand particles, which has been the hot sand particles, which has been touching your lotus feet. You could have come the straight path. Why did you take such a long, elongated, path, which delayed the whole process? Srila Sanatan Goswami spoke. You see, Srila Sanatan Goswami is the most qualified, very, very qualified. But Vidya Vinayena Shobhate, the more once the consciousness, the lotus of our consciousness opens up and blossoms in devotion, to that extent, it's filled with the nectar of humility, natural humility. Sometimes we think humility means to bend in a certain way, to fold our palms in a certain way, and saying, Dandavat Pranam, Panchanga Pranam, Ashtanga Pranam, I am your servant, I am the servant of your servants, I am touching your lotus feet, please accept my humble obeisances. Even while writing email, we'll say, please accept my humble obeisances. And at the end, we'll say, you're aspiring humble servant. But in the middle part of the email, there's dishum dishum. You know, Initially, there's some obeisances. In the end, there's some obeisances. But in the middle portion, you know, we say what we have to or what we want to. But this is not humility. Humility means to always understand that I am insignificant in comparison to the Vaishnav that I am meeting. The Vaishnav whom I am meeting and interacting is filled with all good qualities. I am filled with so many shortcomings because of lack of devotion. But the Vaishnav or the Vaishnavi that I'm interacting with is filled with all good qualities. I am not able to see all of them, but I'm able to see most of them. And I am praying that may a drop of those qualities touch my heart as well. To always see everyone in connection to their true nature is humility. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he knew Srila Sanatana Goswami is the embodiment of all humility. And he's like Chandan. He's like a stick of sandalwood. And Mahaprabhu, by his repeated questions, was rubbing this sandalwood. Because when you rub sandalwood stick, what happens? Only fragrance comes out. So Sanatana Goswami's consciousness is like a stick of sandalwood. And Mahaprabhu, through his questions, was actually rubbing it hard and vigorously. And as a result, the sweet fragrance of Sanatana Goswami's devotional humility was coming out. Srila Sanatana Goswami said, "My Lord, I could have come the straighter path from Siddha Bakul to the Gambhira through the temple of Jagannath. But there is a big problem with that. The big problem is there are devotees going back and forth on that path. Those who have taken darshan of Jagannath, who are coming out, and those who are about to enter the temple and take darshan of Jagannath. So when my body, which is filled with pus and open wounds and sore, when it touches their body, either they're coming out of the temple and they're carrying the prasadi garlands of the Lord, or they're carrying some flower of the Lord, or some are carrying some prasadam of the Lord. And when I touch them, I contaminate their presence. Or those who are about to enter the temple, they're carrying bhoga. They're carrying not nirmalya, but bhoga, that padartha which is worthy of being offered to Jagannath. And by touching, I contaminate all of them. I contaminate in two ways. One, because I have served a very low-class master in the form of Maharaj Nawab Hussain Shah, who's been tormenting the Vaishnavas and eating cow flesh. And I've been serving him. But we want to specify very clearly and clarify this, that Srila Sanatana Goswami was not serving Nawab Hussain Shah in the attempt of what Nawab Hussain Shah wanted to do. But Sanatana Goswami was serving Nawab Hussain Shah like a steering wheel in the hands of a driver. The steering wheel sometimes will just move and the car will have a crash. But when the driver sits in, you can take the car to its right place. So Nawab Hussain Shah, whose mind was agitated in propagating Islam by destroying other cultures, Srila Sanatana Goswami, being a very wonderful, wonderful minister, was giving him sane intelligence that you don't have to do this. So he was actually guiding Nawab Hussain Shah and naturally the whole society to intelligence. But Sanatana Goswami, in his humility, is saying, I have been serving him, therefore I'm very sinful. And at the same time, my body is dirty, is filled with so many obnoxious substances. So in either way, if anybody touches my body, they will become putrefied. They will become contaminated. And I don't want this. So those who are entering will get contaminated. Those who have entered out or exited out of the temple, they will be contaminated. The pujaris who are going to go and touch the deity of the Lord, they may be walking on that path. And if I accidentally touch them, I anyway can't enter the temple. At least I should not contaminate those who can. So instead of coming straight, I took that path from the ocean shore. And as a result, my Lord, I became late. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at the feet of Sanatana Goswami. His feet was red, completely filled with blisters because of that heat of the summer afternoon. And at the same time, he saw genuine tears of repentance in the eyes of Srila Sanatana Goswami, that, "My Lord, please forgive me. I couldn't come on time and I made you wait. I am such a sinner. I am such a great offender." The Lord wants to, everybody wants to offer bhoga to Krishna and accept prasad. Here, Krishna himself wants to accept prasad in the presence of the devotee, and the devotee, Srila Sanatan Goswami, in humility, he's saying, my Lord, instead of coming on time, I made you wait. What kind of devotee am I? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Sanatan Goswami. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Mahaprabhu told Srila Sanatan Goswami, Jadyapi tumi hoye jagata pavan, tumasparsha pavitra hoye deva muni gana, tathapi bhaktera swabhav maryada rakshan, maryada palana hoye sadhura bhushan. Look at the poetry of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Mahaprabhu told Srila Sanatan Goswami, Jadyapi tumi hoye jagata pavan. First of all, Sanatan Goswami, I want to clarify. You are saying that you are already contaminated and you can contaminate others? No. I totally disagree to this. Jadyapi tumi hoy jagata pavan. You are so pure that you can purify the whole world. And not just the whole world. Tumas sparsha pavitra hoy deva munigan. Even demigods, even great rishis. What to speak of human beings? Celestial beings come in human form only to touch your lotus feet and become purified. Was Mahaprabhu over-exaggerating? No, this was actually the truth. And the example for that is, Srila Sanatan Goswami, he lived at Govardhan later in his life. After Mahaprabhu's departure, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami moved to Vrindavan. And Srila Sanatan Goswami lived at Govardhan, at a place called as Chakratirtha. Chakratirtha is the place where during the Govardhan Leela, all the Brajbasis under the hill, they were feeling very cold because this constant rain. They're standing under the hill. Krishna's holding Giriraj. As Giriraj, he's holding Govardhan. and it's raining profusely. Indra's tormenting the Brajbasis with 7 days and seven nights of rain shower. As a result, the friends were feeling very cold. The Gopas, Gopis were all feeling very cold. So they told Krishna, is there a natural heater around? You know, can you heat up the whole place? Krishna said, sure, let me invite Sudarshan Chakra. So Krishna invoked the Sudarshan Chakra from Vaikuntha and told Sudarshan Chakra, your only service is to continuously do Govardhan Parikrama. So you have to keep spinning around Giriraj. You will get the service of doing Giriraj Govardhan Parikrama. So the Sudarshan Chakra said, sure, I'm always in Vaikuntha where there is no Govardhan and there's no Jamuna. So now you're giving me a chance, I will do Parikrama. So Sudarshan Chakra went around at blitzing speed around Giriraj Govardhan Hill. And as a result, the water was becoming dry and everyone felt a warmth under Govardhan Hill. So after the pastime, Krishna told Sudarshan Chakra, wonderful, you know, you did very nice service. Now you can go back to Vaikuntha. So Sudarshan Chakra told Krishna, this is not fair. You call me from Vaikuntha to Vrindavan for service. And when you're happy with my service, you send me back to Vaikuntha. I have read the Bhagavad Gita as it is, O Krishna. Please don't cheat me. You have said there that Natat bhasayate suryo na shashanko na pavaka yad gatva na nivartante tad dhamam paramam mama. That my abode is such that once you come here, you will never return. So reading this verse, I have come to Vrindavan. Now you please don't send me back to Vaikuntha. Krishna smiled and he said, okay, I will give you a place. I will give you an eternal permanent place at the foothill of Giriraj Govardhan, in the area of Govardhan, in the district of Govardhan. And wherever the Sudarshan Chakra situated himself, that place was called Chakratirtha. So Srila Sanatan Goswami, he lived his life at Chakratirtha and he would chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So when he lived at Chakratirtha, that is also the place where Ganga Devi manifested. There's another beautiful pastime where Nanda Maharaj once heard about the glories of Ganga Devi in Vrindavan. And he heard about how one time Garuda was carrying a snake for Mahaprasade Govinda, because that's what Garuda eats. He eats snakes. So he was carrying a snake. And as Garuda was carrying a snake, the tip of the snake, the tail of the snake, touched the upper waters of Ganga at Haridwar. And as a result, as soon as the tip of the tail of the snake touched the upper water surface of Ganga Devi at Haridwar, immediately the snake became a four-handed associate of Mahavishnu and went back to Vaikuntha. So Garuda, who caught the snake to eat the snake, As soon as the tip of that body of the snake touched the upper waters of Ganga, the snake became a 400 associate. And instead of being on Garuda's beak, now that 400 Vishnu associate got on the back and Garuda took that same associate back home, back to Vaikuntha. So when Nanda Maharaj heard this katha, he told Krishna, I am going to Haridwar and I will take bath in Ganga. So Krishna said, well, why do you want to leave Vrindavan, dear Baba? Dear Nanda Baba, why do you want to, Pitaji, why do you want to leave Vrindavan and go to Haridwar? So Nanda Baba said, because there is Yamuna here, but there's no Ganga here. Krishna said, of course there's Ganga here. Krishna's making it up. He didn't want his father to leave Vrindavan. Vrindavanam parityajya padam ekam na gacchati. Krishna's rule is that neither should I nor should my associates ever leave Vrindavan. So he was trying his best to stop his father leave Vrindavan. So Nanda Baba said, if you show me where there is Ganga in Vrindavan, I promise you I will not leave. So Krishna got Nanda Baba to Chakratirtha. And out of his mind, he invoked Ganga Devi. Therefore, that Ganga Devi is called Manasi Ganga at Govardhan, because Ganga appeared from the mind or Manas of Krishna. So at Chakratirtha, where the foothill of Govardhan, where there is Manasi Ganga, we also know wherever there is Ganga, Ganga is on the head of Lord Shiva. So you see, so many pastimes are coming together. Siddhanta means it moves like waves. Jao Bhagavata Pado Vaishnavera Sthane, Ekanta Ashraya Karo Chaitanya Charane, Chaitanya Bhaktagana Nitya Karo Sangha, Tathapi Janiya Siddhanta Samudra Taranga. Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami has described, only when we take shelter of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and his associates and his dear Vaishnav devotees, can we see that Siddhanta, or all philosophical truths, which seem very dry like wood in the Upanishads, they are now moving like the waves on the ocean of rasa. So we see so many pastimes are coming together. So we know that Ganga Devi is on the head of Lord Shiva all the time. Varanasi Purapatim Bhaja Vishwanatham. Ganga Taranga Ramaniya Chatakalapam. Kauri Nirantara Vibhushita Vama Bhagam. Right? Ganga Devi is always on the head of Lord Shiva. So now if Manasi Ganga is here, Shivji must be somewhere close by. And surely enough, that Shivji who manifested at Chakratirtha was called Chakreshwar Mahadev. Chakreshwar Mahadev. He whose Lord is Chakratirtha. So he appeared there. But however, in Braj Bhasha, you know, with time the words get little tempered. So Chakreshwar Mahadev with time has now become Chakleshwar Mahadev. Chakleshwar. And Chakleshwar Mahadev with time has become Chakleshwar Baba. And that with time has become Baba. So if you go to Chakratirtha and you say, oh, Baba ke darshan ke liye kahan jana hai? Yahan chale jao. Yahi Baba baithe. Kaun se Baba? Chakreshwar Baba. Unka naam hai Chakleshwar Mahadev, Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva, he personally came and lived at Chakratirtha. Srila Sanatan Goswami used to chant japa there. And one fine day, Srila Sanatan Goswami was sitting and chanting japa. There were so many mosquitoes troubling him. So Srila Sanatan Goswami made a plan that I will leave this place. This place is not conducive for bhajan. So Lord Shiva came in the dream and he said, I have left Kailas only to come here to sit and hear your chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, Srila Sanatan Goswami, Lord Shiva said, not just me. Demigods come in human forms to take association of your lotus feet. They come here only to interact with you and hear the chanting of your pure holy name. So I have, Mother Parvati is there in Kailas. I have left her only to come and sit and hear your chanting. So if you leave this place, then how will I hear your chanting? But I know you have concerns with the mosquito, Lord Shiva said in the dream. Don't worry. I will go to the demigod in charge of mosquito, the department of mosquitoes, and I will tell that demigod to do something. You will find it very, very astonishing that Lord Shiva wiped off the mosquitoes at that place and gave them another different place to do their bhajan. Even till this very day, you can find mosquitoes everywhere at Govardhan, but not at Chakratirtha, because it is Lord Shiva who made that arrangement so that Srila Sanatan Goswami can sit and chant japa. And Srila Sanatan Goswami continue to chant japa there. and Lord Shiva continued to live there, hearing the chanting of Srila Sanatan Goswami's pure vibrations of the holy name. So why did we mention all this? This is as praman to establish this fact that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatan Goswami that jadyapi tumi hoy jagata pavan, tumas parasha pavitra hoy deva munigan. That Srila Sanatan Goswami, you are so pure that you can purify the three worlds. And even demigods like Lord Shiva, they come to associate with you. And they become purified by the touch of your transcendental body. You are saying by the touch of your body, people get contaminated? I totally refute this point. Jadyapi tumi hoy jagata pavan, tumas parsha pavitra hoy deva munigan. You are pure and all purifying, even for demigods. But Sanatan, I understand. Tathapi. Tathapi means, but I still understand. Although this is the fact, still, tathapi bhaktera swabhav maryada rakshan. Oh, but I understand. The nature of a Vaishnav is to always follow Vaishnav etiquette. The nature of a Vaishnav is to always follow the proper rules of conduct. A Vaishnav may be very advanced, but he never thinks he's very advanced. The tree which is full of fruits always bends by the weight of those fruits. So if a Vaishnav is full of the fruits of devotion, as the fruits of his devotional service in his heart becomes more and more ripened and juicy, the tree of his existence bends by the weight of those fruits of those qualities, which means to the extent a person practices the path of bhakti, to that extent he must become humble. If pride is increasing, which means something is going wrong, Krishna is giving a hint that yes, you're chanting more, you're hearing more, you're serving more, but something is going wrong. But if naturally we are able to see good qualities in others, we are not interested in seeing their faults. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a very beautiful verse. This should be our Siddha mantra for life. Vaishnavera gunagrahi na dekhaye dosh, kaya mana vakya kare Vaishnava santosh. What does it mean? Vaishnavera gunagrahi. We want to only collect the good qualities in Vaishnavas and na dekhaye dosh. We don't want to see their faults. We don't want to see their faults. Srila Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the Gaudiya Math once observed that amongst his disciple, there was some misunderstanding, miscommunication. And there were two camps. And one camp was criticizing the other camp. This camp was criticizing this camp. And Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur gave them a very beautiful example. He said, let's say you get a chance to become a waiter in a restaurant. Will you become? They said, sure, Gurudev, whatever you want us to do. He said, okay. What if you have to be in that restaurant as a waiter and you have to serve meat? And the interesting thing is you don't get paid for it. And that's not the instruction of your guru. Would you want to do it? They said, no, we will not do it. Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, why not? Carry the meat from one table to another as a waiter. You will not get paid for it. No salary. And I'm not instructing you to do that. You're doing it on your own. Will you do that? They said, no, no, it's a very bad thing to do. Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, carrying the meat as a waiter from one table to another is obnoxious, is bad, but it's worse to carry the meat of the dead meat of the apparent faults and offenses of Vaishnavas from one table to another without delivering it. You're keeping it in your heart and carrying it as a waiter, carrying the dead meat in the plate of your heart of all the dirty, bad qualities and apparent flaws, which don't exist, but apparent, that which we think exists from the heart of so many Vaishnavas we are collecting and we are carrying it on the plate of our heart from one table to another in our life. Why do you want to do it? Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I, as the spiritual master, I have to see faults in my disciples to rectify. But you don't have to do it. I am not instructing you to do it. You don't have to carry the faults of others on the plate of your heart. Why do you do it? The waiter at least delivers it on the table and he leaves. But you are carrying it for so many days and so many weeks. What is the use? So Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, no carrying flaws and faults of Vaishnavas. No need. If somebody is doing something wrong, it is between them and their spiritual superior. Who are we to say anything? Any distraction to seeing who is doing what is only distracting us away from our path. Our only intention should be, am I chanting properly? Am I serving properly? Is my mood of service better? Am I utilizing my time properly? Am I doing something wrong? Are my responses Vaishnav in all circumstances in life? Am I utilizing my time and not frivolously wasting? If these are the things, these are questions to introspect, then there is no time to look around to see who's doing what. But when we have no goal in our life, or we have a lot of time to gossip and criticize. So Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Vaishnavera gunagrahi na dekhaye dosh. Collect the good qualities in others and don't see their faults. Why don't see their faults? Mahaprabhu appeared on what day? Purnima. But please note, this Purnima took a long time to appear. It was first Amavasya, no moon. And after the whole waxing and waning process, then finally it became Purnima on a full moon. So it becomes Pratipad, first day, Dvitiya, Tritiya, Chaturthi, Panchami, Shashti, Saptami, Ashtami, Navami, Dashami, Ekadashi, Dwadashi, Trayodashi, Chaturdashi, then Purnima. So Vaishnavas are sometimes, apparently we may see them to be like no moon, which means no good qualities. But we must understand, in a matter of 15 days, that no moon will become full moon. They will become full moon and we will remain there, counting the spots on that full moon. Everybody is on their onward process. Some of us are Pratipad, first day of the blossoming of our consciousness is what I'm talking about. Some of us are at Panchami, some are at Shashti, some are Ashtami. Some pure Vaishnavas are like Ekadashi. And exalted Mahabhagavats are completely blossomed, Purnima. The consciousness has blossomed and become full moon. So we have to note that whom we are seeing today with full of faults, 5 lifetimes from now, maybe 10 lifetimes from now, they will become pure Vaishnavas. They will be walking on the planet, initiating others, giving shelter to others. And we will fall back on our consciousness and even go lower in our consciousness because of seeing faults in them. The only place Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains where it is okay to see the apparent wrongdoings and the offenses and correct is if one is a spiritual superior and that too one is doing it without envy in their heart. It is not to settle scores. One must be a spiritual superior. That too they must do that to their subordinate without any conception of envy. And that too, that subordinate must be eager to take it in the right perspective and implement in their life. If this combination is there, then it is okay. But if we see that the subordinate is not ready to take, then what is the point in saying? If the hunger is not there, why are you cooking chapan bhog and giving? If the hunger is not there, why are you cooking a chapan bhog? Which means why are you giving advice when there is no hunger to learn from the subordinate? If the subordinate is ready to learn, the superior is ready to teach, but he's doing that with some envy in his heart. Because that person, you know, that subordinate, yeah, I remember when he joined how he was acting. He was acting as if he was very great. Now I will show him. If some competitive settling score mentality is there in the superior's heart, then he will fall down. In correcting also, he will fall down. It will not give the right result. And we can see so many examples for that. So anyway, the point is, kaya mana vakya kare Vaishnava santosh. Through thought, word and deed, we have to only act in a way by which we can give pleasure to others, to the Vaishnavas. Why should we, when we have the energy, the time and the power to do good, why should we waste that in finding faults and criticizing and bad-mouthing? Our tongue is meant to vibrate the holy names of Radha and Krishna, not to vibrate the faults of others, which is temporary. Please note that the faults are temporary and the names of Krishna are eternal. When anyway you can vibrate the tongue, why not vibrate it with that which is permanent? And why waste our time with what is temporary? What is going to change? तथापि भक्तेर स्वभाव मर्यादा रक्षण. महाप्रभु टोल शिला सनातन गोस्वामी, इट इज द नेचर ऑफ वैष्णवस टू फॉलो एटिकेट. यू सी, व्हेन देयर इज अ ट्रैफिक लाइट ऑन द स्ट्रीट, द कार्स एंड द बाइक्स दे स्टॉप, बट द एयरप्लेन डजंट स्टॉप, राइट? द एयरप्लेन टेक्स ऑफ, द एयरप्लेन टेक्स ऑफ. If the driver of the car gets out of the car and expects the pilot to stop to the traffic lights on the street, then it's baseless. It doesn't make sense because the airplane takes off. It's an airplane. It's not a car. So sometimes we can see, this is an exception to the rule. Sometimes we can see very exalted pure Vaishnavas. It may seem as if they are transgressing etiquette, but they are doing it because they are airplanes. They are airplanes. They are not cars. So we are all like cars and we have to follow the traffic light rules of Vaishnava etiquette. But sometimes we may see a very advanced Vaishnava, like Srila Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj may chant japa in the toilet, in a public toilet, because he did not want anybody to come and trouble him while he's chanting japa, because he sat on the banks of the Ganga and people would come, kripa koro, please shower your mercy. And he found it to be a distraction. So he would go and sit in a stinking latrine, a public toilet, so that people won't come there. And he can sit and chant japa. And he would say, the stink of the toilet is better than the stink of materialistic people with bad intentions. They are coming and giving their stink here. No, it's that is worse. I will fall down in spiritual life. I don't want their association. Srila Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj would chant in a toilet. Now, we can't do that. Does that mean he's breaking Vaishnava etiquette? No, that means he's an airplane and he's taking off and he doesn't have to stand for the traffic lights of normal rules like what's meant for us. So these exceptions to the rules are there. Sometimes you can find in the scriptures, Nityananda Prabhu. Prabhu kahe Nityananda kaha mora danda. Mahaprabhu is asking Nityananda Prabhu, where is my danda? Nityananda kahe tumar danda haila tridanda. Your danda has become tridanda because Nityananda Prabhu took that one sannyas danda of Mahaprabhu and broke it into three parts and threw it into the water. Now, if somebody even hears this in any sampradaya, that the Supreme Lord Balaram appears and he's breaking the danda of a sannyasi, that is Mahaprabhu's danda, they will think, what is going on? You're talking about Vaishnava etiquette, but the lords you're worshipping on the altar, that Nityananda Ram, he's breaking sannyas dandas. But we have to understand, Nita is an airplane. He's an airplane. He takes off. He doesn't walk on the streets like us. We are cars. We have to stop at the traffic lights of Vaishnava etiquette. But Nitai and Bamshi Das Babaji and Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj and Rishabh Dev Maharaj and Shukadev Goswami, all these avadhuts, they can take off as airplanes and there's no problem for that, right? So we're just making a side point. So Mahaprabhu said, Tathapi bhaktera swabhav maryada rakshan, maryada palan hoy sadhu rabhushan. The ornament of a sadhu is following proper etiquette. So till the time we don't follow etiquette, sometimes in programs we see, we are sitting ahead in a Bhagavatam class when we know we have to leave the assembly in 15-20 minutes. We have to go somewhere. So the etiquette should be we should sit close to the door because we know that when we have to get up, it's easier to go from the door. But now if you go and sit ahead for those 15 minutes, what's going to happen? At the end of 15 minutes, you're going to get up and cut through the whole assembly with a crying baby in your hand. And the speaker who's trying to serve Srimad Bhagavatam is trying to serve the Vaishnavas, and all the Vaishnavas are now looking at what's happening here. What is happening? We are taking the attention of the speaker, the listener, and the whole assembly of Srimad Bhagavatam towards us in just 15 minutes. So this is not proper conduct, not proper etiquette. When Vaishnavas are speaking, sometimes others are looking down at their phone and just looking up and saying, yeah. And the main attention is on seeing the phone to see how many notifications are there. This is not proper etiquette. Why? Because when that Vaishnava chants japa, Krishna leaves everything and sits and listens to his japa. And when that Vaishnava talks to us, we are busy looking at the phone and all the notifications as if that Vaishnava doesn't matter to us. Therefore, Mahaprabhu has said, Prabhu kahe Vaishnava seva naam sankirtan, dui karo shigra pave krishnera charan. that if you chant the holy name and serve the Vaishnavas with proper Vaishnav etiquette at all times, oh, then very soon we will get the mercy of Krishna. So Gaurar Ami Mukhe Balile Nahi Chale, Gaurar Achar, Gaurar Bichar, Loile Phala Phale. The fruit of being a Gaudiya Vaishnava will fructify, not just by saying that I belong to Mahaprabhu, but by actually following his instructions, following his etiquette, that the conduct that Mahaprabhu had. So this Gaur Purnima, our meditation is, yes, Mahaprabhu is none different from Radha Krishna. He's the Supreme Lord. That is the Tattva Vichar. Then there is the Leela Vichar, the perspective of the pastimes where we relish so many pastimes. But apart from that, what is the call for action at the end of the class? So today's discussion, we promised Mahaprabhu that I want to be a proper Gaudiya Vaishnav by following the rules of proper etiquette. The Gaudiya Vaishnav manual, of the Vaishnav etiquette manual for Gaudiya Vaishnavas in ISKCON is available. So all of you can read and follow that at all times as much as possible, along with chanting the holy name and hearing Harikatha, so that the true conceptions of Mahaprabhu's instructions and Mahaprabhu's conduct and the reciprocative etiquette is followed in life.